A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Titles appear. Judy Garland and Van Johnson in The Good Old Summertime. A Robert Z. Leonard production. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Jan Stankus and Alice Austin. Read by Peter Haydu. For more about description, call DVS at 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at access.wgbh.org. More titles with S.Z. Cuddles Sackle, Spring Byington, Clinton Sundberg, Buster Keaton, and Marcia Van Dyke. Written for the screen by Albert Hackett, Francis Goodrich, and Ivan Tors. From a screenplay by Samson Raphaelson and a play by Miklos Lazio. Produced by Joe Pasternak. Directed by Robert Z. Leonard. Now in a color photograph of Chicago, a concrete wall separates the deep blue water of Lake Michigan from Lakeshore Drive. In the background, skyscrapers stand along the tree-lined street. The scene comes to life. Waves break against the wall and automobiles move down the road. Now pedestrians cross a busy street.
When I look at Chicago today, it's hard for me to realize that it's the same city I knew when I was a boy. All those skyscrapers, that steel and concrete, those busy streets, and the crowds. We didn't have them. In my day, life was more leisurely. The women didn't wear anything on their faces then. But the men made up for it. You weren't a substantial citizen unless you wore a mustache.
In a red brick townhouse, a 30-ish blonde man gazes into a mirror.
I remember, I grew one myself. But somehow, I guess I wasn't substantial enough.
He cuts one curly tip of his mustache off. He cuts the other tip. He twitches his mouth, then snips off two more chunks. Grimacing at his reflection, he rolls up his shirt sleeves, then brushes a generous gob of shaving cream on what's left of his mustache. Now clean-shaven, the blonde man leaves the townhouse.
I was living in a boarding house then, along with other young hopefuls.
He stops to chat with a striking brunette, then tips his hat as she walks up the steps to the boarding house carrying a violin case. He secures the trouser cuff of his neat gray suit with a strap, then mounts a bicycle.
Sunday was my big day. It was my one chance for an outing. Sometimes I'd pick up my friend, Hickey. His uncle, Mr. Overkuchen, was my boss. We'd ride out to one of the parks to meet him.
The blonde man, Andy Larkin, rides his bicycle along a shady boulevard. Hickey, a slim, droopy-faced man, joins him. In the park, Andy and Hickey ride past a bandstand where an orchestra plays. Farther on, they wave to a rotund gentleman who stands beside a picnic table covered with a red and white checkered tablecloth. A middle-aged blonde woman with an hourglass figure sets the table. Andy parks his bike and joins them.
Mr. Overkuchen was an unpredictable man on weekdays, but on Sunday he was always happy. Nellie was his cashier, his accountant, and his secretary. Had been for 20 years. They never married. I used to wonder why.
Nellie unloads a picnic basket.
Like all people in love, they were worried because I had no lady friend. They'd try to get me one. But I had other plans.
Two young ladies wearing snug-waisted dresses and wide-brimmed hats pass by with bright smiles. Overkuchen nudges Andy and points. Andy shakes his head. On the bandstand, the white-uniformed conductor waves his baton at the audience. Everyone sings along. Hickey takes a seat at the picnic table and joins in the singing.
Monday morning alarm meant back to work. Some people hated that alarm. But not me. I had something to get up for. You see, the post office would be open.
Andy rubs his hair and jumps out of bed.
And that meant there might be a letter for me. One of those very special letters.
Inside the post office, Andy unlocks a mailbox and removes a letter. As he reads it, his feet take him outside, past the columned entrance and down granite steps. On the sidewalk, a young woman rounds the corner of the building. Carrying a parasol and a drawstring purse, she wears a white skirt and blouse. Andy crashes into her. She falls. Her straw hat, decorated with a white bird, slides down over her face.
Oh, I beg your pardon, madam.
Here, I never. Where you going?
Here, I'll fix your hat for you. No, that's not quite the right angle. Here's your umbrella. I don't really know what happened. Well, here's your bag, madam.
The parasol snags onto the hat, pulling a hair roll out of her hair. Andy tries to help pin up her chestnut curls.
Leave me alone.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
He picks up her hat.
Here's your hat.
Thank you.
Something's missing.
Where's my bird? My bird.
A real bird flies away.
Madam, I'm so sorry.
What?
Wrong bird.
Downy feathers drift from the fake bird as Andy tries to reattach it to the hat.
I'm terribly sorry about this. I was in such a
hurry
reading a letter, and I was trying to...
crushing my hat.
She yanks it away.
I'm terribly sorry about this. Here's your umbrella.
It folds down over her head. She drops the hat.
Wait a minute.
Where are you? There you are.
He throws the parasol aside.
Your hat. Your bird. Is this you?
She snatches the hair roll away.
Here's your bag.
She puts on her hat.
Oh, wait a minute.
On the umbrella. Parasol, I mean.
She falls against him.
Please, madam,
Excuse
me, yes. Here's your bird and here's your bag. Now, I've really got to go.
Well, go.
I've got to go to the office.
Andy gets his bicycle from a rack near the steps.
Look, here's my card. That's where I work, see? Now, you go buy yourself whatever I've ruined, and I'll be glad to pay for it, all right?
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Her skirt catches in the bicycle spokes.
Wait a minute.
It rips off. He rides away with her skirt trailing behind. Now a canopy shades the front of a music store.
I was head salesman then at Mr. Overcogan's, getting a good salary. $15 a week.
Inside, Nellie and Hickey fold up a drop cloth.
Well, good morning,
morning
Andy.
Nellie. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Hickey.
Morning, Andy.
Morning, Rudy.
You're late. Mr. Overcogan had to let us in.
I know. See, I got to... Come here a minute.
Rudy, a mustached man with brown hair, goes with Andy into the back room.
Sit down. I got another letter.
From the girl that advertised?
Yeah. You want to hear something nice?
He reads.
Dear friend, my heart was trembling as I walked into the post office. But there you were, lying in box 237. I took you out of your envelope and read you. Read you right there, dear friend.
I thought she wanted to correspond with you on intellectual subjects.
Well, isn't that intellectual? Positively poetry. Now, wait, there's more.
He puts his straw boater hat in a locker.
Are you short or tall? Are your eyes blue or brown? Don't tell me. What does it matter if our minds meet?
You're right. It is intellectual.
There are so many wonderful things to write about in this world of ours. It would be wasting precious time if we told each other the sordid details of our daily lives. So don't let's do it. I agree with you when you say, 'tis happier to be dead, to die for beauty, than to live for bread.
Did you say that?
Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson said it first. Yes?
Andy, Mr. Overcogan wants to see you right away.
Thanks, Nellie. How is he this morning?
Peaches and cream.
Oh, I hope so.
Look, how many times must I tell you? That violin is priceless.
I'm sorry, Uncle Otto.
And don't call me Uncle Otto. In the store, I am Mr. Overcooking.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
With a troubled face, Hickey leaves Overcooking's office. He sees Andy waiting.
All I did was plunk his violin. Just plunk.
Overcooking glares at Hickey through a window. Hickey hastens away, stumbling down steps to the sales floor. Overcogan beckons for Andy to come in.
The Dummkopf. The Stradivarius. The Stradivarius, he picks it like a mandolin. It's all your fault. If you had been here on time, it wouldn't have happened.
I'm sorry, sir. I had a little accident.
Accident? It's no excuse, Nex. Everybody can have an accident. Nex, did you hurt yourself?
No, I didn't.
Good. I hate a dangerous bicycle.
Oberkuchen nods toward the door.
Come.
He leads Andy to the sales floor.
I have something to show you. I am sure you will like it. It's a surprise for the whole business. Look.
A harp.
I have a chance to buy 100 of these from Kramer. We can make a nice little profit. Huh? What do you think of it? I think it's great.
I'm afraid it's not for us, Mr. Oberkuchen.
Not for us? You have hardly looked at it.
I don't have to. It's a harp. And not enough people play harps.
It's wonderful how quickly you can decide. I have been in this business 20 years, and it took me an hour to decide I liked it. But you, Professor, Hickey!
Hickey hides behind a drop cloth.
Hickey!
Yes, Uncle Otto, Mr. Oberkuchen.
Oberkuchen sets the small harp on a counter.
Miss Burke, please.
Hickey turns the harp around. Oberkuchen slaps his hand. Oberkuchen steadies the harp.
Mr. Hansen?
Rudy comes downstairs.
Mr. Hansen? Yes, sir? Look at this, please. What do you think of it? Mr. Larkin doesn't happen to like it. I do. But don't let me influence you. I just want your honest opinion. Huh? That's all I want, your honest opinion.
He looks at Hickey.
What?
Oh, I think it's wonderful, just wonderful.
Well, Mr. Larkin, have you changed your mind?
No, I still say they're not for us.
I agree with Andy.
Thank you. Thank you, that's all.
Oberkuchen tugs on the lapels of his suit jacket, then strides back to his office.
Now we're in for it.
Oberkuchen tucks a cloth under his fleshy chin, then plays his violin.
This was his way of soothing himself when things went wrong. But he was the only one who was soothed.
Nellie stuffs cotton in her ears.
Hickey knew the way to hold his job.
Hickey tiptoes into Oberkuchen's office, pulls up a chair, and listens attentively. Hickey winces, then forces a smile. Now, the young woman from the post office mishap enters the store. Wearing a fashionable pale lavender suit with a matching puffy hat, she strolls over to a counter and leans on it. Andy hurries over.
Good morning, madam. May I help you?
Oh, hello, Miss...
Fisher.
Fisher. Miss Fisher. Yeah, well, looks like I ran up quite a bill, doesn't it? How much do I owe
you? Oh, no, I couldn't think of accepting anything from you.
Really, you must.
No, I couldn't. Really, I couldn't. That's definite.
Well, my goodness.
Why, this is a nice store.
Well, thank you. We like it.
You have lovely things.
Oh, maybe you'd like me to buy you something else. Is there anything here you'd like?
As a matter of fact, there is.
Oh, fine. Well, how about... No. How harmonica? No? Mothball? Little piano?
No,
music,
I want a job.
Oh, sorry. I sold the last one yesterday.
Now, see here, Mr. Larkin. This is no joking matter. That's why I was so furious today when you bumped into me. I was dressed up, ready to go out and look for a job when you...
Yes, well, I'm sorry. We just couldn't take anyone else on now. It's the dough season.
But you haven't even heard my qualifications. I worked at Roberts Brothers.
Yes,
and I worked at Gregory Music Store.
Oh, yes.
They liked me very much there. They all said they'd be very happy to have me back.
Well, why don't you make them happy, huh?
Yeah, it's the dough season.
Yes, well, I'm sorry. I just couldn't take anyone else on now. Good day.
She follows him.
Just a minute.
Oberkuchen overhears.
Do you own this store?
Oh, no, but
then I'd like to see the owner, please.
Oh, I wouldn't advise it. He's in a very bad mood this morning.
I insist upon seeing the owner.
Look, I've been here for a number of years now, and I know Mr. Oberkuchen inside and out. I know what his attitude would be. I could tell you word for word exactly what he'd say.
Now,
Mr. Larkin, just a moment, please.
Excuse me, please.
Excuse me, madam.
Surely.
Come here. So, you know all about me. You know exactly what I think even before I think of it. You are not only a business genius, you are a mind reader.
Mr. Oberkuchen, I wouldn't...
Never mind.
Oberkuchen walks over to Miss Fisher.
Good morning, madam.
Hi, Mr. Overcooking.
How do you do, Mr. Overcooking?
How do you do? Please have a seat.
Thank you.
I don't know what the difficulty is, but at Overcooking, there is no such word as impossible. What is it that you desire?
Oh, well, you see, Mr. Overcooking, I was at Gregory Brothers, and...
Oh, I assure you, we have much better merchandise.
Ooh, oh, no.
We have violins, we have flutes, we have...
He points to the harp.
Isn't it wonderful? Something new. Look.
Oh.
Some of our sales force do not agree with me, but I think it is charming.
Yes,
I guarantee you didn't find anything as lovely as these at Gregory's.
Well, I don't think you understand, Mr. Overcooking. You see, I worked at Gregory Brothers. I'm looking for a job.
Overcooking shakes his head.
Well, wait a minute. I play the piano, and I can play the violin.
Just
and
wait, wait a minute. You can play what you want. I have no time. Money.
Overcooking walks over to Andy.
Why do you put me in a situation like that? Why?
Oh, I'm sorry, but it wasn't my fault.
No, whose fault was it? Mine?
Well, yes, I think it was.
Well, what's the matter with you? You feel to me like a son. But every time you contradict me, whatever I say, you say no. Why?
All right, Mr. Overcooking. From now on, I'll say yes, Mr. Overcooking. Certainly, Mr. Overcooking. Yes, Mr.
As a portly, middle-aged woman enters the store, Miss Fisher plays the harp.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of this.
Andy approaches Miss Fisher.
Look, there's no use your waiting around. As soon as there's an opening, you'll be the first one to be called.
Tell me, do you like it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you see. Is it so hard to play?
No, anyone can learn.
You see.
And it's so romantic.
What's romantic about it?
Well, the soft, rippling music and the way your hands...
That's the woman's point of view.
Woman's point of view.
How much are you asking for it?
Well, I thought $75. Hmm?
Oh, yes, that's a bargain.
A bargain?
A real bargain.
It's a pretty harp, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's a very unusual one.
I was really looking for a song.
Oh, may I help you, madam? Here's a very popular song of the day.
A song. I knew you sang. I could tell by your voice. Of course, for anyone who sings the harp, it's so flattering, your hands. I have hardly any voice at all, but if there's a number you'd like to hear...
How about this, madam? You might like it. Lovely lyrics and all.
No, this. Dreamland.
Meet me tonight in Dreamland.
Yeah.
Could some...
Yes, may I?
Thank you.
Overcooking hands the sheet music to Andy.
Isn't
it pretty?
Please, madam, have a seat.
The customer sits down.
Of course, if you can't play, we...
I can play.
Surely, he can play. Sit down.
Rolling his eyes, Andy sits at a piano and opens the sheet music. Miss Fisher strums the harp and sings.
Me tonight in dreamland, under the silvery moon.
Nellie takes the cotton out of her ears.
Meet me
upstairs, Rudy leans over the railing and watches Miss Fisher as she plays and sings.
Where love's sweet roses bloom.
Overcooken beams at Andy, who forces a smile.
Come with the love light gleaming in your dear eyes of blue. Meet me in dreamland, sweet dreamy dream.
As the customer sways to the music, Overcooking glares up at Rudy. Rudy's dreamy smile fades, and he quickly shelves a box on the rack behind him.
Dreamland, where love's sweet roses bloom. Come with the love light gleaming in your dear eyes of blue. Meet me. Dreamland. There.
lovely. How much is it?
$99.50. Reduced from $100.
I'll take it.
Fine.
Rubbing her hands together, Miss Fisher walks over to Andy.
Could I have your sales book, please?
Andy hands over the book, then crosses his arms.
And your pencil.
Sure you wouldn't like my job, too?
Not yet.
Andy frowns. Now on a sidewalk, Miss Fisher smiles at a little girl playing on a stoop, then runs up steps to a townhouse. A sign reads, Miss Addie, Ladies Dressmaker.
Aunt Addie, in here, dear.
Oh.
Inside, a woman works at a sewing machine.
Aunt Addie, I have a job.
Position.
Oh, well, whatever it is, I have it.
A baby sits on a chair.
Who's this?
That's Jerome.
Hello, baby.
Mrs. Spreen's Jerome. She had to go down and pay her gas bill.
Tell me, what kind of a position?
Well, it's in a music store, and the boss is a darling.
Any other gentlemen?
Oh, yes, there's a... I think there are three of them.
Oh! Hand me that lace, dear.
Here, which is it? There's the boss's nephew, and then there's a Mr. Hanson.
Are they young men?
Well, one of them's a young man, Mr. Larkin. He's a head salesman. He's the one who didn't want to give me the position. But anyway, I went over his head and went to the boss and got the job. I don't think he likes me at all.
Oh, I nearly forgot. I went by the post office and there was another one of those letters in the box for you. It's there on the table.
Aunt Addie.
She runs to the letter.
Oh, Aunt Addie, this makes my day perfect.
Upstairs, Miss Fisher enters a bedroom with frilly curtains. She sits at a lavender writing desk and tears open the letter.
Dear friend.
Now in a restaurant, Andy sits at a table alone, reading a letter.
Dear friend.
As Andy reads, the head waiter walks among the tables delivering menus to patrons. In an alcove, a pianist accompanies a string quartet comprised of women. The brunette from Andy's boarding house, Louise, plays lead violin. Her dark eyebrows and glossy hair accent her radiant face. Louise's full red lips part in a warm smile as she gazes at Andy. He nods to her. The head waiter watches the exchange with interest, then approaches Andy's table.
You don't eat, Mr. Larkin. Why?
Oh, I've had enough, Joe, thanks.
If you ask me, you are in love.
You think so?
I know. She don't eat, too.
Who?
He asked me who.
He nods at Louise.
All the time, like this.
Somber.
Then... when you come in, she... look.
As Louise plays, her dusky eyes fix on Andy.
I know just like that.
The head waiter removes an uneaten piece of lemon meringue pie from Andy's table. Andy's face sobers as he gazes at Louise. She smiles as she plays, her cheeks flushed. Louise takes a bow, then leans closer to the other musicians.
Just a minute.
She hurries to Andy's table.
Hello.
Hello, that was fine.
Oh, did you recognize it?
Sure.
That was the music you sent me last night.
I thought it might do for your audition.
Oh.
Haven't you sent your application in yet?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Oh, now don't let me down. I was telling my lady friend about you only today.
Louise frowns.
Your lady friend?
Yes. I was telling her how you were going to win the scholarship and go to Leipzig. And how you were going to be famous and that one day I'd be boasting that I used to live in the same boarding house with you.
I never heard you speak about your lady friend before.
Really? Well, that's funny. That's been going on for quite a while. I thought I'd told you.
Well, after all, why should you? We never spoke about much but music, did we?
No, that's true.
Louise nods to the piano player.
Well, I have to go.
Oh, about that scholarship now, you'd better get busy on it.
Why, I haven't a chance to win.
Of course you have, if you put your mind to it. Now, look, I'll bring you music every night. I'll even get you a decent violin to play. How's that? I've got a stake in your career, you know.
All right. I'll send in the application tomorrow.
Good girl.
Thanks.
As he watches Louise go, Andy furrows his brow and sighs. He takes the letter out of his vest pocket and looks at it.
I often wondered if the girl I was corresponding with was as wonderful as her letters.
Now at the music store.
September and October passed, and I was still writing letters.
A window display.
And still trying to sell those harps.
Do you think Eric would like that gramophone?
Don't know. But it's very pretty.
Two women view the display. Oberkuchen.
Pardon me, I can't see very well without my glasses. Can you tell me how much the charming little harp is?
$99.50.
You certainly get wonderful values here. I wonder how Oberkuchen can do it.
Well, if you don't know Mr. Oberkuchen, who does?
The women share a smirk as they stroll away. With a flustered frown, Oberkuchen enters the store. Inside, Andy helps a customer.
Good morning, Mr. Oberkuchen.
Good morning.
He hands Andy his cane and takes off his overcoat.
They look fine, the harps, huh?
I wish the customers thought so.
Oberkuchen grabs his cane and walks past Hickey.
Oh, good morning, Uncle Otto, Mr. Oberkuchen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Oberkuchen. We're having a wonderful morning.
Yeah?
Yes, I just saw my third gramophone.
Oberkuchen walks into his office and hangs up his hat, overcoat, and cane. Nellie sits at a desk.
Good morning, Otto. I've been looking over the bills. I think we ought to attend to some of these...
He nearly walks into a harp.
They shouldn't have left that there.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Of all the instruments, the harp is perhaps the most beautiful. Look, the classic lines, the mysterious tones, it seems to come from there. So wonderful.
Otto, You don't have to keep them, you know.
Huh?
Kramer will take them back. We're good customers. We've given them a lot of business this year. Now, all you have to do is to explain to him
Wait a minute, explain. Why? What should I explain?
But, Otto, you can see for yourself. We've had them for 2 months. Nobody will buy them. I'll call up Kramer.
You shouldn't call. They will sell, I know.
But, Otto, this...
Please give them time. This is my business.
Oh, very well. There's the bill for them. I've done the best I can. I never saw such a man. Stubborn.
Now at the cash register.
$19.75 out of $20, please.
May I have your sales check, Miss Fisher?
Certainly. Well, let's see now. That's $241 worth of business I've done already this morning.
Splendid.
So, you see, Mr. Larkin, you were wrong. This shop could stand another salesperson.
He gives her coins.
$10, $20, $25.
You know, I think you're angry because I sold a harp and you couldn't.
On the contrary, Miss Fisher, I'm delighted. I only wish you could sell the other 99.
Who knows? I may.
She hands the coins to a customer.
Thank you very, very much, madam.
Thank you.
Please come in and see us again soon.
A short man with a bushy mustache looks at sheet music.
Oh, just a moment, please.
Oh, yes, sir.
Could you tell me how this goes?
Oh, I'd be very glad to play it for you right over here.
Thank you.
At the piano.
This is a very popular song of the day. I think you might like it. Put your arms around me, honey. Hold me tight. Huddle up and cuddle up with all your might. Babe, won't
you? Excuse me. Would you like a little help?
All right.
Fine. From the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning. I'll sing the verse.
Andy turns the page.
B-flat. Here we go.
Miss Fisher slaps Andy on the back, then turns to the short man who smiles at her expectantly.
Nighttime am a-fallin', everything is still, and the moon am a-shinin' from above. Cupid am a-callin', every Jack and Jill, it's just about the time for making love. Someone is a-waiting all alone for me. No more hesitating, I must go and see. Howdy do, dear, it's with you, dear, that I love to be. Your arms around me, honey. Hold me tight.
teacher turns the page. Andy turns it back. She slams the keyboard cover down onto his hands.
When they look at me, my heart begins to float. Then it starts a rocking like a motor boat. Oh, I never knew any boy like you.
Spreading her arms, she slaps Andy in the face. The customer bounces to the up-tempo beat. Miss Fisher wears a confused look.
All your might, oh, baby, won't you roll them eyes that I just start Elijah Rice, and when they look at me, my heartbeat begins to float. Then it starts a rocking like a motorboat. Oh, I never knew any boy.
She hands the sheet music to the customer.
15 cents, please.
Now at the boarding house, Andy sits in his room reading a letter. Behind his chair, a window frames a view of another room where Louise plays violin. Andy cocks his head, then crosses to a writing desk where he locks the letter in a drawer. He opens a slim volume to a bookmarked page which reads, Poems by Frances Ann Kemble. What shall I do with all the days and hours that must be counted ere I see thy face? Andy picks up a pen and writes.
Dear friend.
Now in her bedroom, Miss Fisher wears a prim cotton nightgown with a scalloped collar. She sits at the desk reading a letter by lamplight. With a tender smile, she folds the letter, tucks it into an envelope, then slides it into a bundle of others held together by a blue satin ribbon. She rubs the bundle against her cheek, then places it in a cubbyhole. She picks up a pen and writes.
Dear friend.
Now, outside the music store, snow falls. On the sidewalk, a man carries a small evergreen tree under his arm past a girl pulling a small boy on a sled. In the music store window, a wreath and Christmas decorations hang above a display of harps. A sign reads, Now $64.50. Oberkugan removes the sign and replaces it with a new one, reduced to $49.50. Nellie smiles at him.
If only once you'd admit you'd made a mistake. In all the years I've known you, I've yet to hear you say I was wrong.
All right. You will hear me say it now. I was wrong.
Otto.
For 20 years I have been wrong, thinking I could marry a woman who spies on me.
A woman who spies on
me? Yes, spies on me.
Oberkugan storms past Rudy.
Well, it looks as if we're going to have a white Christmas, Mr. Oberkugan.
Does it?
I thought it did. I don't know why he gives me a different answer every time I ask him a simple question.
With a pained glance at Oberkugan's office, Rudy escapes to the back room.
Morning, Rudy.
Morning, Andy. Well, I'm glad someone is happy.
Oh, Rudy, this is going to be a big day in my life. Say, Rudy, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Oh, go ahead, Andy.
Suppose a fella like me wants to get married.
Oh, congratulations.
No, I said suppose. For instance, suppose I want to get a three-room flat. You know, one of those things with a bedroom and a dining room and a living
room. Dining room? Andy, what do you want a dining room for?
Well, where will we eat?
In the kitchen. You get yourself a big kitchen.
Well, where will we entertain?
Entertain? Well, what are you, an ambassador? Listen, Andy, if a friend is really a friend, he comes after dinner.
Yeah, but suppose after we get married... Gee, I haven't even asked her yet.
And who?
The girl I was telling you.
Oh, the young lady you were going to correspond with on intellectual subjects.
That's the one. Well, anyway, after a while we get around to the subject of love. On a very intellectual plane, of course.
Yeah, well, how else can you do in a letter?
So anyway, tonight we're going to meet for the first time at Heinkel's restaurant. Isn't that wonderful?
Tell me, Andy, how will you know her?
Oh, she's going to carry a carnation and a book of poetry.
Very appropriate. And you?
I'm going to wear one in my buttonhole. Rudy, she's the most wonderful girl. She's got such high ideals, such delicacy of feelings. I'll tell you more later. Here comes the Duchess.
Miss Fisher breezes in, twirling her red knit hat around a finger.
Someone else is happy today.
Good morning, Mr. Hanson.
Morning, Miss Fisher.
Miss Fisher.
I know, I'm late.
Oh, no, no, no. About that shirt waist you wore yesterday, you know, the yellow one with the green dots?
No, as usual, you're wrong again, Mr. Larkin. It was a green one with the yellow dots.
I beg to differ.
And everyone else seemed to think it was very becoming.
Oh, really?
And as I recall, I've never mentioned anything about those neckties that you wear.
My neckties?
And believe me, Mr. Larkin, if you think I couldn't, you're crazy.
My neckties are...
So just leave my shirt waist alone. It's none of your business.
Mr. Obercoogan seems to think it is.
Oh, that's right. I'm working under you. Hmm?
Let's not forget it.
Well, from now on, I'll telephone you every morning and tell you just exactly what I'm going to wear in detail. Is that all right?
Look, if you want to get yourself dressed up like a circus pony, go ahead, but I don't want the boss taking it out on me.
Listen here, Mr. Larkin. I sold just as much as anybody else in that shirt waist yesterday.
Really?
Did you tell Mr. Obercoogan that?
I did.
And what did he say?
He said, tell him not to wear that shirt waist.
Well, tell him I won't.
I will.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Miss Fisher walks out. Andy fingers his red and green patterned tie. Now on the sales floor.
Now, you know that...
Nellie wears cotton in her ears.
Nellie. Oh, I didn't know it was over.
Nellie pulls out the cotton.
Nellie, you know that green blouse that I had on yesterday? The one with the little yellow dots?
Yes.
I think it's lovely. Did you like it? I'm so glad, because I have a very important engagement tonight, and I didn't know whether to wear that or something a little more formal or...
Yeah. Well, I always think...
Morning, everybody. Morning.
Obercoogan emerges from his office with a smile.
Good morning, Miss Fisher.
Good morning, Mr. Obercoogan.
As Miss Fisher removes a drop cloth from a countertop, Obercoogan approaches Nellie at the cash register.
May I tell you, you look charming today.
Nellie's mouth tightens.
Nellie, what do you say if we dress up tonight, have an early dinner, and go to the opera?
I'm sorry, I can't.
What is it, Nellie? You don't feel well?
I feel very well, thank you. I have another engagement.
Well, you can get out of it. Explain it to her and she will understand.
And what makes you so sure it's a woman? I have men friends, too, you know.
Obercoogan runs a hand through his thinning hair.
Nellie, you are not going out with another man.
Yes, I am.
Nellie, you couldn't do such a thing.
And who's going to stop me?
Puffing up his chest, Obercoogan turns away.
Mr. Larkin! Mr. Larkin!
Yes, sir.
Will you please tell everybody to stay after work tonight? We are taking inventory.
Inventory?
Tonight?
Yes, tonight. There are a lot of things on our shelf that are not moving. I should like to know what they are. I want a thorough check made of all of our merchandise.
Mr. Obercoogan, is it absolutely necessary that I stay here tonight? Because I've got such an important engagement... Could you possibly spare me?
It's entirely up to Mr. Larkin.
Well, Mr. Larkin,
could you get along without Miss Fisher?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Obercoogan, I was just about to ask you if I could have tonight off, too.
Oh, Mr. Obercoogan.
What is it? Does everybody want to leave? Once a year, I ask you to stay here.
I see.
You want a special invitation.
Mr. Obercoogan.
Next time, I will send you an engraved announcement.
Mr. Obercoogan, I don't think we need Andrew. I think we can manage.
Did I ask you for advice?
No, Mr. Obercoogan.
Uncle Otto. I can take Miss Fisher.
Tonight is inventory. Everybody stay. It's final.
He walks away. Miss Fisher slowly sinks into a chair and rubs her head. Andy leans on the counter, biting his lip. Later.
Number K52T4.
Oh, I thought you said 3.
Those are Banjo cases, Miss Fisher. Metronome 6. Got it?
Got it.
She takes notes.
Small harps, 99. Got it?
You just love to rub that in, don't you?
I am merely taking inventory, Miss Fisher.
No matter what I do, it's wrong. If I wrap a package, it's wrong.
Music
you
bag.
Want everything done your way, and even when it is done your way, you don't like it. Fine. When I came here, I was a very enthusiastic girl, and now look at me.
Fine.
Well, let me tell you, one of these days I might find out that I don't have to work at all, and then I'll really tell you what I think of you, Mr. Larkin.
Music bag.
I have to get another blank. Mr. Larkin, I don't like you.
Dabbing at her tears, Miss Fisher walks over to Nellie.
new blank, please.
Don't feel so badly, dear.
I can't help it. We'll never finish here tonight. I'm going to miss the most important engagement of my whole life.
Oh, maybe we'll finish in time.
Nellie, is that clock right?
Nellie checks her watch.
Yes, dear, it is.
Oh, Nellie, I'm never going to make it.
Well, couldn't you telephone the young gentleman?
I can't. I don't even know his number.
Miss Fisher.
Oh, yes, thanks, Nellie.
I have an engagement. I'd like to get out of here.
So would I.
Oh, Miss Fisher.
Yes?
Would you mind holding the ladder, please?
His arm's full, and he climbs up a ladder.
Oh, and you might count that music while you're at it, too.
She lets go. The ladder rolls.
Miss Fisher, the ladder!
All right.
Nellie enters Oberkuchen's office. He slumps in a chair by a fireplace.
Otto, it's almost 8 o'clock.
Is it?
Otto, is it too late for us to have that dinner?
And what about your friend?
My friend? I just made him up.
No, I know. You are just being kind to me. You are a very handsome woman, Nellie. A very, very attractive woman.
Now, Otto.
Yeah. I should have known you couldn't care for an old fool like me.
Why, Otto?
I know, Nellie. I am not worthy of you. But I always hoped when I became a famous violinist, then maybe. But to find out suddenly that there is someone else.
She takes his hand.
Oh, Otto, listen to me. Listen to me. There isn't anybody else.
No?
Really. I made him up.
You made him up?
He kisses her hand.
Nellie.
Otto.
Nellie lifts a handkerchief to her mouth. Oberkuchen beams.
Nellie. I'll go and get you things.
On the sales floor, Miss Fisher holds the ladder for Andy.
Children, what are you doing here so late? Go home, all of you.
She lets go and Andy slips. He clings to a music rack.
Miss Fisher!
Later, Miss Fisher gets ready.
Oh, Aunt Addie, hurry.
Yes, dear, I'll be there in just a minute. Just a minute.
Aunt Addie irons a dress.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Aunt Addie, will you help me with this, please?
I really shouldn't be helping you after all having dinner in a public place with a strange man.
Oh, Aunt Addie, he isn't a strange man. I know all about him. After all, we're practically engaged.
Just the same, you have never been introduced.
Oh, that's convention. A silly convention for ordinary people. This is different. It's just like he said. You can't keep a love like ours in an envelope. And you know, Aunt Addie, I know just what he'll look like. He'll be tall and dark. And terribly, terribly handsome. And sort of sad.
Now Rudy helps Andy dress.
Andy, don't look so sad.
Tell you the truth, Rudy, I don't feel so good. Look out for the carnation.
It's 8:15, Andy. You don't have time to feel bad. Where's the buttonhook?
On the desk. I don't think I should go, Rudy.
Oh, Andy.
For her sake, I mean. I've told this girl what an important man I am. When she sees me, it's going to be an awful shock.
Don't you worry, it's going to be love at first sight.
On the other hand, what about me? Suppose I don't like her.
You don't know how lucky you are.
Lucky?
Well, most men fall for a pretty face, and then they find out there's nothing behind it. But with you, you know what's behind it.
Yeah, but what's in front of it?
She'll be beautiful, you'll see.
I wish I'd never learned to read or write.
Oh, Andy.
Later, Andy and Rudy walk along a snowy sidewalk. At Henkel's restaurant, Andy peers through arched windows at the crowded tables inside.
Good luck, Andrew. Oh,
wait a minute. You look, I'm afraid to.
No, Andy, you're
go
not.
On, go on.
Well, all right.
As Rudy gazes through a window, Andy tries to hide behind a slim column.
You see anything?
Not yet. Oh, there's a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. But no book.
Oh.
Wait a minute, I think I see right there. A book and a carnation. I can't see her face. She's sitting behind a clothes rack. She's leaning forward now. Andrew, she...
Can you see her?
Yes.
Is she pretty?
Oh, very pretty.
Really?
I would say she looks like... Well, she has something of the coloring of Miss Fisher.
Miss Fisher? At the store?
And you must admit that Miss Fisher's a very good-looking girl, and personally, I've always rather liked her.
But this is no time to be talking about Miss Fisher, Rudy.
Well, I can tell you right now, if you don't like Miss Fisher, you won't like this girl.
Why, what do you mean?
Because it is Miss Fisher.
What?
Andy peeks through the window. Inside, Miss Fisher sits alone. She places a carnation on top of a book.
Of all the people in the world, that one...
Now, Andrew.
A nerve of her, the nerve.
Andy, please, you can't just walk off and leave her sitting there.
What do you mean I can't? Listen, Rudy, if she was the last woman on Earth and we were alone on a desert island, I'd still walk off and leave her sitting there.
Now, Andy, wait a minute. Remember, she wrote you all those letters.
I don't believe it. She couldn't, and even if she did it... Good night, Rudy.
Andy walks away. Rudy shakes his head and buries his hands in his pockets. With a backward glance, he heads in the other direction. Now, Andy enters the restaurant where Louise plays with the string quartet. Her curious gaze follows him as he hands his coat to the head waiter, then heads to his usual table. He wears a red carnation in the lapel of his suit. Louise turns to the others.
I'll be right back.
Andy takes a letter out of his vest pocket.
Why, Andy... I thought you weren't coming in tonight.
Well, Louise, I was on my way.
Oh, but I'm so glad you did. I have such wonderful news.
What?
They accepted my application, and I'm playing in the auditions on Friday night.
Oh, that's wonderful, Louise.
You'll come, won't you, Andy?
Sure.
Oh, you've
sure,
got
I'll
to
be
come.
There.
Andy.
What?
You're not ill, are you?
No.
It's just that you look a little strange.
No, I feel fine, Louise.
Well, all right, then. Keep your fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Andy gazes down at the letter. Now at Henkel's restaurant, Miss Fisher glances nervously at the wall clock, which reads 9:30. She props up the book in carnation, then looks around the restaurant. A balding man with a party at the next table nods to her and starts to rise from his chair. Miss Fisher quickly turns her back. A waiter grasps the empty chair at her table.
Excuse me, miss. Could I have this chair?
No, please. I'm waiting for someone. He'll be here any minute.
He must be special for you to wait this long.
Oh, he is very special.
Excuse me.
Leave it here.
Thank you.
Outside, Andy stares through a frost-covered window, his brow furrowed. His lips slowly curl into a lopsided smile. He reaches inside his overcoat, removes the red carnation from his lapel, and throws it away. He enters and checks his overcoat and scarf. Adjusting his tie, he follows the head waiter around a thick pillar. On the other side, Miss Fisher sits alone at her table. As the head waiter continues, Andy glances at Miss Fisher and stops suddenly.
Miss Fisher. Well.
Mr. Larkin.
What a coincidence. You know, I had an appointment here, too. Did you see Rudy Hanson?
She holds the book and flower to her chest.
Well, do you mind if I sit down, wait for
you? Oh, no, please don't, Mr. Larkin. You know, I have an appointment myself.
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, your friend seems to be a little late.
Oh, he'll be here.
I see you're reading Elizabeth Browning.
She puts the book back on the table. Andy sits down.
Yes. Any objections?
Oh, no, it just seems to be quite a surprise. Wait. You know, I didn't know that you went in for classical poetry.
Mr. Larkin, there are a great many things...
Shh. The people are watching over
there. There are a great many things that you don't know about me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, now tell me, Miss Fisher, have you ever read Emerson's essays?
No, I haven't.
Well, I have. And you know, there are a great many things you don't know about me, Miss Fisher. It's such a pity that people so seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface to find out the inward truth.
Oh, Mr. Larkin, I wouldn't care to scratch your surface, because I know that... I know that underneath I'd find, instead of a heart, I'd find a piccolo. Instead of a soul, I'd find a flute. And instead of an intellect, I'd find a metronome that doesn't work very well.
That's very well put, Miss
Thank
Fisher.
You.
A metronome.
Yes.
Well, it's such an interesting mixture of poetry and meanness. Very well put.
Meanness?
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Miss Fisher.
Mr. Larkin, I think you understood me when I said I was waiting for someone.
Oh, yes, well, if your party doesn't show up...
Oh, don't worry about my party showing up. He'll show up. In the meantime, you needn't bother to stay here and entertain me.
As you wish, Miss Fisher.
Andy gets up. As he walks away, a man dining alone at a nearby table leaves. Andy claims the seat. Sitting back to back with Miss Fisher, Andy leans back, nearly touching her.
Have you ever read Crime and Punishment?
Are you still here? Mr. Larkin, are you deliberately trying to ruin my evening?
Oh, no. Do you hear what they're playing? Do you know what that song reminds me of?
Yes. 99 Harps.
Wrong again. It reminds me of a girl who was looking for a job. And a very nice girl, I thought.
Oh, how you can lie.
Well, that was before you began to make fun of me, giving imitations of me in the locker room. And I'd like to tell you now, Miss Fisher, that I am not bowling it.
You're not?
No.
I have information to the contrary.
Well, it's a lie. If you think I'm bowling it, come on out to the sidewalk and I'll prove it to you. I'll pull up my trousers.
What?
And another thing, you may have beautiful thoughts, Miss Fisher, but you certainly hide them. You're cold and snippy like an old maid, and if you don't watch out, that's what you're going to be.
An old maid?
Yes.
An old maid? Well, Mr. Larkin, as you go on, you'll get funnier and funnier. I've got some letters that I could show you that were written by a man so far superior that it's ridiculous. They'd really open your eyes. I, an old maid, huh?
Yes.
You belittling counter-jumper, you.
Counter-jumper? Yes. Well... Thank you and good night, Elizabeth Browning.
Andy pulls up his trouser legs, exposing white long johns, suspenders above his muscular calves holding black socks. He storms out as everybody watches. Now in her townhouse, Aunt Addie sits in an overstuffed chair in front of a fireplace, reading. She glances up at the clock on the mantel, then quickly rises and lays the book aside. Wearing a lavender dressing gown, her gray hair tied in a long braid down her back, Aunt Addie walks into the front hall. Miss Fisher comes in the front door.
Tell me, what was he like?
Miss Fisher walks past her.
I never saw him.
What?
Well, that Mr. Larkin came in and sat at my table. He wouldn't leave. He just talked and talked and talked until it was so late that...
She fingers a red carnation.
When I left, I found this lying outside in the snow. He must have seen us through the window. He must have seen us together and thought that...
You can write to him? You can explain?
Aunt Addie takes her arm.
I can never explain this. He'd never understand.
Hanging her head, Miss Fisher goes upstairs.
He'd never understand.
Now at the music store, the sign in the window reads, The Amboy Harp, now reduced to $38.75. In the back room, Andy dries his hands, then glances in a mirror. As he examines his necktie, Rudy comes in.
Andy.
Oh, Rudy.
Andy, Miss Fisher's aunt just telephoned to say Miss Fisher's ill. She won't be in today.
I think we'll live through it.
Andy, I don't understand you. How can you be so mean to her?
Mean?
Well, there she was last night waiting for you, and you wouldn't even go in to see her. You just walked away and left her sitting there all alone. Now, Andy, that's enough to upset any
girl.
Don't
talk to me about Miss Fisher, Rudy. You don't know her like I do.
Well, Andy, the least you can do is to telephone her.
Look, if there's any telephoning to be done, she can call me.
Rudy goes back to the sales floor.
Miss Fisher, too ill to come in.
At home, Miss Fisher lies curled up on a couch.
Is that you, Aunt Addie?
Yes, dear.
She sits up, dressed in a nightgown.
Aunt Addie, was there a letter for me?
Well, after all, he hasn't had time.
Oh, I'll never hear from him again, never.
Now, Veronica, maybe he was called out of town on business, or maybe his mother was sick.
I wish I were dead.
There's another mail in an hour. I'll try again. Maybe that's the young man now.
Oh, no, it couldn't be. He doesn't know my number. He doesn't even know my name.
Veronica hides her face in a pillow as her aunt answers the phone.
Hello? Who is it? Just a moment, please. It's Mr. Larkin from the store. Will you speak to him?
Oh, no. Tell him... I don't want to talk to him. Tell him anything.
I'm sorry. She isn't feeling very well.
Well, I hope it's nothing serious.
At the store.
Oh, that's good. Well, tell her we miss her.
Rudy smiles.
Well, what I mean is, she's a good worker. She's a very good worker. And what with Christmas coming on and everything, we can't afford to lose a good worker. Look, tell her I might drop by in my lunch hour just to see how she is, huh? All right.
Later, at home, Veronica pulls on a long robe, then cracks open the front door. It's Andy.
Good morning.
Oh, it's you.
Morning, Miss Bishop. Come in.
He shoulders his way inside.
I'm sorry to come to the door like this, but my aunt isn't home.
Well, I hope you'll forgive the intrusion, but this is really a business call.
Won't you come in?
Felt that being in charge of the store, I ought to...
Check up on me.
Oh, no. I didn't say that. I just wanted...
He follows her into the living room.
Well, how are you?
She leans on the mantelpiece.
I'll get over it someday, I suppose.
Well, have you seen a doctor?
No, Mr. Larkin. I don't need a doctor, you see.
She sits.
My trouble is what you might call psychological.
Oh, well, if it's only psychological...
Only psychological?
Well, what I mean is that Mr. Obakugan is giving a party tomorrow night at the Vienna Gardens. And maybe if you came to that, it might help you. Psychologically, I mean.
A party?
Yes.
At a beer garden?
Yes.
Well, it's obvious, Mr. Larkin, that you just have no understanding of women.
Well, it's really an engagement party. Nellie and Mr. Obakugan are going to be married.
Oh.
And he's taken over the hall for the entire evening. It's amazing. After 20 years, Nellie has finally decided to...
She starts to get up.
No, I'll go. I'll answer the door. You stay right there.
He opens the door to a little girl holding a baby.
Mama had to run to catch a trolley to go out on the market, and she asked me would Miss Addie mind the baby for her.
Oh.
I got to take my music lesson.
She gives him the baby.
Oh, just in case.
She thrusts a paper sack at
him.
Bye.
He closes the door and carries the baby into the living room.
You've got a visitor.
Oh, it's Jerome. Here, I'll take him.
No. You go sit down. I know how to do it. The hand supporting the back and the right supporting the body.
That's very good, yes. Here, but you better give him to me anyway.
She takes the chubby baby.
Oh, goodness gracious sakes. How did you learn so much about babies?
Oh, I've had dozens of them.
What?
I mean, my sister has. Oh. No, there's nothing you can tell me about babies that I don't already know.
They sit.
I'm particularly expert at getting that bubble up.
He peers into the paper sack, frowns, then closes it.
By the way, who's is he?
That's his mother in there.
She points to a dress form.
What?
Well, I mean, that's his mother's dummy. My aunt makes clothes for her.
Oh. Well, it's easy to see where he gets his looks from. Don't let him get too warm.
No, I won't. It would take a
support
of
the back.
Yeah, I will.
Don't
let his head fall
forward.
I've taken care of him for months.
Well, I was...
Does your sister live here?
No, Wichita. I came from Wichita.
Oh, you must miss them. Those bubbles, I mean.
Yes, I do. They're good kids. One of them was named for me, you know.
Oh, which one?
Andrew.
I didn't mean the name. I mean the age.
Oh. Andrew, he's 17 months, three weeks and two. No, one day. He was born on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
When is your birthday?
All right,
here, he's all right.
June 30th.
June 30th, the crab.
What?
I mean, astrologically speaking, I'm interested in signs, you know, birth signs.
Oh, well, there's nothing I can do about that now. Well, what sign were you born under?
December, the goat.
The goat? And the crab?
Yes.
No wonder we battle so much. See, you know what I wish?
What?
Veronica!
Oh, here. You take him.
Oh.
Now hold his back and his head.
Right.
And be very careful.
Aunt Addie holds a letter.
I've got him.
Oh, Aunt Addie, how wonderful.
Addie notices Andy.
Oh, Aunt Addie, this is Mr. Larkin from the store.
Oh, Mr. Larkin, how do you do?
This isn't a social call. Mr. Larkin, we mustn't keep you from your line.
Oh, I've got plenty of time, really.
Let me have Jerome.
She takes the baby.
I'll get some tea.
Go ahead, fine.
Aunt Addie leaves.
Go ahead, read your letter.
Do you mind?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
Beaming, Veronica hurries over to the couch, sits, and curls her legs up under her. Her eyes wide, she opens the letter. As she scans the first page, Andy leans on the arm of the couch, eyeing her. A smile spreads across her face.
Good news?
Oh, very good news, Mr. Larkin. Oh, I'll be back to work tomorrow. Besides that, I'll even go to the party tomorrow night.
No! Well, isn't it amazing what one letter can do?
He joins her.
You know, at this moment, I feel so good I could even forgive you.
Forgive me? For what?
You spoiled my date last night.
I did?
Yes, this young man came along and looked through the restaurant window, saw you sitting at my table, and he misunderstood me.
No, you mean he thought that you and I were...
He says here, tell me truthfully, who was that attractive young man? He's just the type women fall for.
She studies the letter.
I certainly got a sense of humor.
Andy frowns.
Yes. Well, he sounds like a strange sort of a fellow to me. Imagine being afraid to go to a table just because another man was sitting there.
He wasn't afraid. He was just being tactful and sensitive. You see, it's very hard to explain a man like him to a man like you.
Where
you would say white, he would say black. Where you would say old maid, he'd say...
She points to a line.
Eyes that sparkle with fire and mystery.
Mystery?
She searches the next page.
What
vivacious. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
There are a lot of things. And if you'll forgive me, Mr. Locke, and I have to answer this immediately.
Oh, I wouldn't stop you for the world. I'll run along and I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
As he collects his coat and leaves, Veronica goes to a writing desk. Andy turns back.
Why didn't you ask your friend to come to the party?
She nods.
Maybe I will.
Why?
Goodbye.
Smiling to herself, Veronica turns back to her letter.
Dear friend.
Now at the store.
Look at it flash. Looks just like a rainbow.
A diamond ring.
Oh, Nellie, aren't you pleased? I should think you'd be so happy.
Indeed I am. He wanted me to have it in time for the party tonight.
You know, someday I'm going to have one just like that.
Why, of course you will, dear. You deserve it.
Nellie.
Yes.
Why don't you ladies run along? You'd be late for the party. I'll take care of the cash box.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Andy. Thank you.
Allow me.
Hickey helps Veronica into her coat.
Miss Fisher, may I escort you to the party tonight?
Well, yes.
Yes?
His jaw drops.
I'll call for you at 8.
He scurries off.
What about your friend?
Andy glances up from the cash box.
Isn't he coming along?
No, he prefers to have me all to himself.
I don't blame him.
Why, Mr. Larkin?
You know, if you're really in love with a girl, you don't take her to a big party. You take her somewhere where there's music. You get a little table, just the two of you. I know just the place.
She moves a little closer.
You do?
He abruptly turns away.
I'll tell your friend about it if I ever meet him.
Her smile fades. Andy turns away, avoiding her gaze.
Thank you, Mr. Lockett.
She slaps the counter.
Thank you very much.
Andy watches her go.
Here you are, Andy.
Rudy hands him his coat and scarf.
Thanks.
Well, when are you going to break it to her?
As soon as I get a raise.
Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Come in before you leave.
Yes, sir.
Listen, Andy, if you want a raise, now's your chance. You'll never find him in a better mood.
Well, wish me luck.
I do, Andy.
Andy carries the cash box into Oberkuchen's office.
Thank you.
Oberkuchen takes the box, then closes the window door and peers out at the shop.
Sit down, Andy, sit down. I want to talk with you. Andy, each day I have given you a little more responsibility. And each day you have proved more worthy of my trust.
I've tried to do my best.
Mm-hmm. But I have never really expressed my appreciation in any tangible way.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, sir.
Now I'm going to show you how much faith I have in you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you carry my violin for me tonight.
A shocked frown spreads across Andy's face.
It is to be a surprise for Nellie.
Oh, but Mr. Yes,
I'm going to play for her, you know. But I cannot carry it myself. Or she would be, as you say...
Wised up.
Wised up. She shouldn't be wised up. So you will take it from me, you know. And then at the proper time you will ask me to play. And I will say, but I have no fiddle. And you will say, why, Mr. Oberkuchen? I just happen to have one with me. Good.
No, Mr. Oberkuchen, I couldn't possibly. It's
no,
too much of a responsibility.
No, take it along, take
it. Stradivarius is worth thousands of dollars.
I have faith in you. I trust you.
No, really, Mr.
No, not another word. No. Take care of it and guard it with your life.
Yes, sir.
Oberkugan ushers him out the office door. Andy steps down to the sales floor, then hides the violin case behind him as Nellie walks over.
Oh, Andy, it's going to be a lovely party.
Oh, I hope so, Nellie. Well, I'll see you later.
What have you got there?
Well, we were...
Oh, no. Oh, Andy, he isn't going to play for all those people tonight.
I'm afraid so.
Oh, you can't let him make a fool of himself like that. You've got to do something. Anything.
Oberkuchen comes out of the office.
Ready, Nellie?
Nellie hurries out.
What's the matter with her?
Oh, she's just feeling a little emotional.
Of course. 8 o'clock, Andy. Don't delay. And remember.
Yes, sir.
Later, Andy goes into his room at the boarding house, flips on a light switch, then lays the violin case on a table. His brow furrowed, he runs his fingers over the case.
Andy! Andy!
Oh, Louise! Come in.
Oh, I was afraid I'd missed you.
Gee, you look nice.
Oh, thank you. Here's your card of admission.
Well, now, Louisa, don't forget I might have to go by Mr.
Oh, yes, I know you have to go to Mr. Oberkuchen's party, but you will try to get there later for my part of the audition, won't you?
Well, I
think they're taking the violins last.
I'll try my best. How's that?
All right, fine. All right, thanks.
Bye.
She spots the case.
Oh, Andy. Andy, you did it. You got a violin for me.
Well, now, Louisa, I want to tell you.
I know you said you would.
She takes out the violin.
Oh, Andy. Andy, this isn't Mr. Oberkuchen's Stradivarius.
Yes, it is, Louise. That's what I want to tell
Andy,
you.
And he'd let me use it? Oh, how wonderful. How marvelous. Now I know that I can win.
Yes, I'm sure you'll win, Louise.
Wish me luck, won't you?
Yeah.
She hugs him.
Good luck, Louise.
Thanks. Thanks an awful lot.
All right. Bye.
Later at the beer garden.
Till the sun shines, Nelly, when the clouds go drifting by.
A tuxedoed barbershop quartet dances on a stage. Oberkuchen and Nelly sit with Veronica and Hickey.
Now lovers lane will wander, sweetheart, you and I. Wait till the sun shines, Nelly, by and by.
Rolling their eyes with goofy grins, two of the singers swing their arms and do a loose-limbed dance.
We will be happy, Nelly, the new start. Down lovers lane we'll wander, sweethearts you and I. Wait till the sun shines, Nelly, by and by.
The singers bow to Nelly and Oberkuchen, who applaud with delighted grins. As they return to the stage, Oberkuchen glances around, frowning, then leans in to Nellie.
9 o'clock is no Andrew.
Don't worry, Otto. He'll be here.
Nellie shoots a look at Hickey.
Miss Fisher, may I have the honor of this dance?
Oh, yes.
Wearing a solid red off-the-shoulder gown, Veronica follows Hickey.
Mr. Oberkuchen.
Nellie stands.
May I have the honor of this dance?
Oberkuchen looks up and grins. On the crowded dance floor, Hickey whirls Veronica Fisher around in a hearty polka. Nellie leads her fiancé onto the floor, and they dance away, beaming. The couple's polka, hopping two steps one way, then two steps the other, moving in large circles as they go. Hickey dances Veronica across the stage, her layered tulle skirts bouncing as they skip back down to the floor. Amid the whirling couples, Hickey backs into Oberkuchen. Oberkuchen glares.
Oh, excuse me, Uncle Otto.
Excuse me.
As Hickey turns away, Oberkuchen spots Andy through a flower-covered archway.
Andrew.
Oberkuchen smiles.
Just a minute.
He heads toward Andy, who sees him and turns to leave.
Andrew.
He comes back.
Hello, Mr. Oberkuchen. It certainly looks like a wonderful party.
Wait, there's my violin.
I couldn't bring it.
What?
I just couldn't bring it, Mr. Oberkuchen. I suddenly said to myself, suppose I was to have an accident, or suppose I was to fall on the ice.
Stop supposing. Go home and get it in this minute.
Now, Mr. Oberkuchen, it's safe where it is, and I'll bring it to you in the morning.
I'll go in.
No, Mr. Oberkuchen. No. You stay here. I'll bring your violin.
Oberkuchen mops his broad forehead with a handkerchief. Later, Andy enters a crowded music hall. Spotting Louise in the audience, he strides up the aisle and slips into an empty seat behind her.
Louise.
Oh, Andy.
Played yet?
No. Oh, I'm so glad you were able to make it.
She holds the violin.
Look, Louise, I've got to get back. How soon before you go on?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He eyes the instrument, frowning.
Don't worry. I won't let it out of my sight.
Louise, where's your violin?
I left it at home.
Look, I'm in a little trouble. Have you got your key with you?
Yes.
Could I borrow your violin for a while?
Well, certainly.
It's all right, Louise. I'll explain to you later.
All right.
Thanks. I'll be back.
All right.
Back at the beer garden, Oberkuchen anxiously watches the door.
Otto, the way you look, people will think you don't want to marry me.
A couple walks up.
Good night, Mr. Oberkuchen.
Oh, it was a lovely party.
But you can't go yet. Something else is going to happen.
Veronica is going to entertain us.
Oh, of course, we want to stay for that.
It's a surprise. She's rehearsed something with a quartet.
Nellie stands.
May I have your attention, if you please? Veronica, Miss Fisher is going to entertain us. Now, Veronica?
Hickey jumps to his feet and pulls out Veronica's chair. Veronica strides toward the stage, her auburn hair swept off her bare shoulders into a neat updo. She motions for the singers to gather around, and they form a huddle. As Oberkuchen watches the door, Andy comes in, carrying a violin case. Oberkuchen meets Andy at the stairs and grabs the case from him. Straight-faced, he makes his way back to his seat and furtively hands the violin to Hickey, who slips it under the tablecloth. Oberkuchen whispers to his nephew and sits beside Nellie. Andy takes a seat on her other side.
Down to the
joined by the tuxedoed quartet, Veronica marches up and down the stage steps, clapping and slapping her knees.
Down in the great big rascaler, where a swell-colored fella by the name of Bill Jefferson Lord.
Played piano while he'd sing a song. He just sang and played the whole night long.
Till one night a starry-eyed lady they call lovable Sadie heard him playing that barbershop chord.
When he finished, Sadie drew a sigh.
Oh, Lord.
Every time that she would catch his eye, she'd cry.
Mr. Jefferson, Lord, play the barbershop chord. That soothing harmony.
Da-da-da-da.
It makes an awful, awful, awful hit with me. Play that strain just to please me again. 'Cause, mister, when you start that minor part, I feel your finger slipping and a grip in my heart. Oh, Lord,
oh, Mr. Lord,
play the barbershop chord.
Jefferson Lord.
Come, Jefferson Lord.
Veronica dances around the men.
Play the barbershop chord.
That soothing harmony.
Sweet harmony makes a terrible, terrible, terrible hit with me.
Play that strain.
Just to please me again. When you start that minor part, I feel your fingers slipping and a grip in my heart.
Oh, Lord,
Mr. Jefferson, Lord, play that barbershop chord.
At the head table, Oberkuchen stands up. Nellie pulls him back down. Veronica raises her sculpted eyebrows and shrugs. Skipping up the stage steps, she whispers to the band leader, who smiles and nods. Veronica bows to him, then steps down to the dance floor.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense.
but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent. I am my own superintendent, and my star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care.
She swings her arms.
I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy-go-lucky. They say that I'm plucky, contented, and carefree. I don't care. I don't care if I do get a mean and stony stare. If I'm not successful, it won't be distressful, 'cause I don't
Veronica sits on a bench on stage.
A girl should know her etiquette. Alas, alack. Propriety demands we walk a narrow track. When fellas used to blink at me, I'd freeze them and they'd shrink at me. But now when fellas wink at me, I wink at them right back. I don't care, I don't care if people frown on me. Perhaps it's the lone way, but I go my own way. That's my philosophy.
The band leader holds out a trumpet mute, and Veronica high kicks it.
If he's a crook or just a millionaire, there's no doubt about it. I'll sing and I'll shout it, 'cause I don't care.
Bobbing her head and wildly swinging her arms, Veronica struts around the dance floor.
I want my share. Don't try to rearrange me. There's nothing can change me, 'cause I don't care.
At the head table, as Nellie turns to Andy, Oberkuchen escapes. He whispers to Hickey, then strides onto the dance floor, his palms held up, facing the crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, you mustn't tire her. She will sing again.
Taking Veronica's hand, he leads her off the dance floor, then walks onto the stage. He adjusts his vest over his big round belly.
Now, yes, Mr. Hickey, you have something to say?
Now?
Now, what was it you wanted to say?
Oberkuchen rolls his eyes. Hickey stands.
Mr. Oberkuchen, won't you play something for us?
Oberkuchen beams and removes a hanky from his breast pocket.
Why, Mr. Hickey, it's very gracious of you. Very, but unfortunately, I have no fiddle. I have a very beautiful Stradivarius, but I didn't bring it, and so I have no fiddle.
He tucks the hanky into his shirt collar.
That's funny. I just happen to have a Stradivarius here with me.
Hickey produces the violin.
In that case, I will play a little number which is a favorite of mine.
Andy and Nellie frown, dropping their gazes to the table. Removing the violin from its case, Hickey carries it up to the stage. He trips on the first step, stumbling into Oberkuchen, then falls on top of the violin. Oberkuchen reels back, covering his eyes. Hickey picks up the shattered instrument. Later.
Come on, Rudy.
Andy joins Rudy outside a closed door.
And don't come.
Oh, now, Otto, please.
How is he, Doctor?
Just a little excited, but don't worry. He'll be all right.
Good. Come on, Rudy, you've got to help me explain.
The door opens and Nellie comes out.
Don't ever let me see him again.
Oh, Andy.
Don't bother, Nellie, I heard him.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The don't come.
She storms off. Andy enters the room alone. Inside, Hickey watches as Veronica waves smelling salts under Oberkuchen's nose.
My Stradivarius, my Stradivarius.
I'm sorry, Uncle Otto.
I am no longer your uncle. Leave me alone.
Mr. Oberkuchen, I just wanted to say...
You are fired!
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Oberkuchen. Andrew didn't do anything. He didn't break your violin. He hasn't done anything.
Anything. I gave him the violin to carry. I told him to guard it with his life. Now I have no violin.
Well, I just want to tell you, Mr. Oberkuchen.
There is nothing you can tell me. Get out of my sight.
Please listen to what he has to say.
Well, I only wanted to say that it was not your violin that broke.
Mr. Oberkuchen, isn't that wonderful?
Your violin is safe and sound, and I'll have it back for you within an hour.
Back? Wait a minute. What is back?
I loaned it to somebody at Symphony Hall, but I'll get it for you right away.
Andy leaves.
My priceless violin, he loaned it.
Wait a minute, Mr. Oberkuchen.
He jumps up.
I called the police.
Oh, Mr. Oberkuchen.
At Symphony Hall, Andy walks up an aisle and takes a seat in the audience, his eyes glued to the stage. On stage, Louise plays the violin, accompanied by a pianist. Her full lips form a sweet smile as her gaze focuses on Andy. As Louise gracefully draws the bow across the violin strings, she closes her eyes, swaying to the melody. Backstage, Oberkuchen arrives with a policeman, followed by Veronica and Hickey. Watching Louise, Oberkuchen's tight frown softens. The burly cop nudges him and nods toward Louise. Oberkuchen shoots him a glare. Standing beside Hickey in the wings, Veronica glances toward Oberkuchen. Leaning forward, she cranes her neck and scans the audience. She spots Andy, then returns her gaze to Louise. Veronica's head sways slightly as she watches Louise, transfixed. As Louise bows, Andy applauds, smiling, then sneaks down his row of seats. On stage, Louise shakes the pianist's hand, then bows once more as the curtain draws closed.
Oh, I'm so glad that's over.
Andy claps. Veronica cocks her head, frowning slightly.
Oh, Louise, you were wonderful.
Golly, do you really think
so,
Andy?
Yes, yes, you won it hands down.
Oh, I hope so.
Andy spots Oberkuchen and the others.
Oh, Andy, isn't that Mr. Oberkuchen?
Yes, Louise.
Oh, well, come on, we must thank him.
She grabs his hand and drags him across the stage.
Oh, Mr. Oberkuchen, I just can't begin to thank you enough for your kindness.
Well, when Andy brought the violin home this evening, I could hardly believe it.
I beg your pardon, Miss Parkson. Yes. The judges wish to speak to you a moment.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll be right there. And thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Excuse me, Andy.
Yes, Louise.
She leaves.
I'm sorry, Mr. Oberkuchen. She thought you sent it, and I didn't have the heart to tell her.
Want me to take him in?
The cop.
It's up to you.
No, not necessary.
Thank you, sir.
The officer leaves.
Come in the store tomorrow and get your pay.
Yes, sir.
Carrying the violin, Oberkuchen walks out past Veronica and Hickey.
Mr. Oberkuchen,
I'll see you home, Miss Fisher.
Louise returns.
Andy! Andy, I won!
She hugs him.
Isn't it wonderful?
Are you a fun?
Veronica stares at them, her mouth agape.
I'll get a carriage.
Andy, I just can't thank you enough for what you've done for me.
Oh, Louise,
But Andy, without you, I never would have been able to go through with it.
Of course.
Frowning, Veronica turns away.
The happiest girl in the world.
Now Rudy and Hickey stand outside the store.
I cannot understand it. He fires a man like Andy, and he keeps a man like you.
I told you he's crazy.
Yeah. Morning, Miss Fisher.
Morning. Can't we get in?
We have to wait for Mr. Oberkuchen. Andy has the only other key.
Nellie.
Morning.
Good morning.
What is it?
We have to wait for Mr. Oberkuchen.
I never knew before last night, Mr. Hickey, that you were an acrobat.
Oh, Nellie, you didn't hear that violin that broke. That wasn't Mr. Oberkuchen's.
It wasn't. I thought it was too good to be true.
Well, whose was it?
It belonged to a lady friend of Mr. Larkin's.
Well, here's Mr. Oberkuchen.
A horse-drawn coach pulls up in front of the store. Hickey opens the carriage door.
Good morning, Uncle Otto.
Hickey takes his uncle's violin. Oberkuchen climbs out of the coach, snatches the violin back, then walks over to the others.
Good morning, Mr.
Morning,
Oberkuchen.
Mr.
He shoots them each a glance, then unlocks the door and they follow him inside. Oberkuchen heads toward the office, then stops and turns back to Nellie.
Miss Burke, make up Mr. Larkin's pay envelope. and give it to him when he comes.
He turns to go.
And get the receipt for it.
Nellie gives Veronica a worried glance. As Veronica leaves, Rudy walks up.
And when I think how happy we all were yesterday.
Nellie nods. In the office, Oberkuchen takes out his violin and sets it under his chin to play. Positioning his thick fingers on the strings, he hesitates, then shakes his head and returns the instrument to its case. He wipes his hands together, staring down at the violin. Out front, Andy comes into the store.
Morning, Hickey.
Hello, Andy. Gee, we didn't expect you this morning.
Well,
Hey, folks, here's Andy.
Hickey takes his hand.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
I didn't think you'd be here so early this morning.
Well, I had a picture of you all standing out there freezing out. I thought I'd better bring the key over.
Oh, thank you.
Nellie takes it.
Mr. Oberkuchen let us in, Andy.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Wait a minute, I'll get you your money.
Oh, thanks, Nellie.
Hickey frowns.
I feel terrible losing you your job.
Oh, forget it. Look, I'm lucky. I thought it was pretty decent about
I don't know
it.
What we're going to do without you, Andy. I tell you, it won't seem like the same place.
Oh, of course it will. Hey, you better get busy. The customers have been in a pile up.
Veronica emerges from the back
room. How about Christmas dinner tomorrow, Andy? Have you got a date?
Why, no, not now.
Well, why not come to us?
Well, thanks, Rudy.
Good,
thanks.
Good. We'll set a place for you.
Thank you.
He walks off. Andy spots Veronica.
Mr. Larkin.
Hesitating, she steps toward him.
I know that we didn't get along very well. I guess we fought a lot, but losing your job just before the holidays, that's something I wouldn't wish on.
On your own worst enemy, I know.
I didn't say that.
Let's not quarrel anymore, Miss Fisher.
With a warm smile, Andy extends his hand.
Goodbye.
Veronica shakes it, a lacy handkerchief clutched in her other hand.
Goodbye.
She smiles.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Their gaze lingers.
Andy, here you are.
He pulls himself away.
Month's pay.
Well, thanks, Nellie.
Veronica walks off.
And goodbye.
Andy, actually, this is all my fault. I'm going to tell him.
You're going to do nothing of the sort. I wouldn't let you.
Well, at least I can get you a letter of recommendation.
Oh, Nellie, I don't think he...
You knock on his door in a little while. I'll have it for you.
She strides off.
All right, Nellie.
Nellie enters the office.
Andrew's here. I gave him his money, but it'll be hard for him to get another job without some kind of letter.
Very well. To whom it may concern.
She writes on a pad.
I wish to state that Mr. Andrew Dalby Larkin has been with me for...
For a number of years?
For a number of years. In all the time I found him...
Reliable,
efficient. But you said reliable. It isn't reliable. Taking my violin, reliable?
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't honest, isn't right. I could have had him thrown in the jail for that.
Yes, you could.
Where was I?
In all this time, I have found him reliable.
Efficient. Extremely honest. And because of his diligence, I promoted him. I was so proud of him. Like a son, he was to me. Like a son.
Here's Andrew for his letter.
Come in.
Andy enters and stands in front of Oberkuchen.
Morning, sir.
I'll be finished in a moment. Where was I?
Because of his diligence, I promoted him.
To the position of top salesman. Yes, and that was not all. I was going to make you manager.
He looks up at Andy.
When Nellie and I were married, I was going to put you in charge of the store. And then you have to do this to me.
He turns away.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing I can say now.
Otto, let's forget it. Andy's leaving and you have your violin.
That's the trouble, Nellie. I haven't my violin.
He closes the violin case.
Last night, for the first time, I heard it played as it should be played. I knew then I had no right to it.
Shaking his head, he glances at the case, then looks up at Andy.
I want you to give it to your young lady friend, Andy. Give it to her with my blessing. Take it tonight.
He looks at Nellie.
After you finish work.
After I
Yes, after you finish work. And now, Andy, that you are manager.
Manager?
You might give yourself a raise.
Andy gapes.
You see, Nellie, sometimes I can admit I am wrong.
Oh, Arthur.
Nellie hugs him. Oberkuchen shoots Andy a look, and Andy turns away.
Nah, get going, manager.
Andy hurries out.
Mr. Hickey, Mr. Hansen, on your toes. As your new manager, I ask of you a little more holiday spirit.
Manager? Andy, you're manager?
Yes.
Congratulations. Well, that's more like it, Andy.
Thank you. Where's Miss Fisher?
In the locker room.
All right, Hickey, you open up. We'll make this the biggest Christmas Eve Oberkuchen's ever had. Let's sell out the store.
Good, Andy, good.
Andy strides into the back room, where Veronica stands on a ladder.
What happened?
What?
He hangs up his coat.
What are you talking about?
Gaping, Veronica steps down.
I thought you were discharged.
Oh, that. I was. But Mr. Oberkuchen changed his mind and took me back and made me manager.
He combs his hair.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. You know, it means a lot to me.
It does?
Oh, yes. A raise in salary and who knows, maybe marriage.
Her smile fades.
Oh.
She steps away.
Yes. You know, she's a very attractive girl.
I think so.
Yeah. I was quite surprised to find that you had a girl.
You mean you thought that I couldn't get one, is that it?
There you go. Putting words into my mouth again. Honestly, you're the most insufferable man I've ever met. Heaven knows you were bad enough when you were just a salesman, but now that you're manager...
What happened?
I hurt my finger.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was happy as a lark when I came in here this morning.
Well, I was
because
happy.
I thought I wasn't going to have to see you day in and day out.
Well, I didn't know.
Well, I can't stand it anymore. I'm leaving.
Wait a minute. You just can't leave now, just as I was about to...
He takes her arm.
What?
What I mean is you can't walk out now, the day before Christmas, with the customers coming in and
all. Oh, you needn't worry. I'll finish out the day if that's what's bothering you. But I give you notice, Mr. Manager. I'm getting out of here tonight.
She storms out. Veronica strides into the middle of the crowded store. Rudy walks up, holding sheet music.
Miss Fisher, this lady is interested in this song. We'd like to hear it.
Oh, certainly.
I'll play it for you.
Hickey sits at an organ. Andy comes out of the back room, his brow furrowed.
What is it, Andy? What's wrong?
Oh, everything.
But didn't you tell her?
No. It's all over. Forget it.
Veronica leans one arm on the organ as Hickey begins to play. Andy, his gaze locked on her, paces slowly to the other side of the organ, then stops.
Merry Christmas.
As Veronica notices Andy, he glances down, hesitating, then walks away.
Dream about your heart's desire, Christmas Eve, when you retire, Santa Claus will stop, and I know he'll drop exactly what you wanted from your chimney top.
She kneels by a little boy bundled up in a wool scarf and cap.
Have a holiday as gay as holly. May the ones you love be near you with the laugh of friends to cheer you when the church bells ring like the angels sing and you hear the joyful hymn. They chime. Hang a wish from me on your Christmas tree.
She gazes at Andy.
For a very merry Christmas time.
Veronica lowers her gaze. Later, carrying her coat, she ambles out of the back room into the vacant, messy store. The other employees emerge behind her, and Nellie and Oberkugan come out of the office.
Mr. Oberkugan?
Well, my children.
The others gather around.
This Christmas Eve has been the biggest in the history of Oberkugan's. I want to show you my appreciation. Miss Fisher, I hope this will be the first of many Christmases with us.
He hands out envelopes.
Mr. Hansen, please. You have done fine job. Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Oberkugan.
And now, there have been times when I have been a little cross and so, but you know, I didn't mean it.
Thanks, Uncle Otto.
And now, Andrew.
Mr. Oberkugan, you've already made this a very happy Christmas for me.
That is for the manager.
Thank
and
you.
Tell your young lady she should take good care of my office, Stradivarius. Nelly Carroll.
Good night,
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Nelly waves. Opening the door, Oberkugan pauses and flips up Nellie's collar. Smoothing it around her neck, he smiles at her, shoots the others a sober glance, then follows her out.
Well, I guess you won't need me to help you lock up, will you, Andy?
No, Rudy, you go on home to your family. I'll close up.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good night, Miss Fisher.
Good night, Mr. Hansen. I beg your pardon?
Did you lose something?
Yes, I left my stocking cap.
Oh.
She goes into the back room.
Andy.
What?
I hope you don't hold it against me, Mike. Making up to Miss Fisher.
Oh,
I didn't know until last night that she's in love with you.
Andy's eyes whiten.
Gee, I thought I was doing all right, but I guess the best man won.
Coming, Hickey?
Coming. Good night, Andy.
Right.
As Hickey and Rudy leave, Veronica comes out. She glances at the envelope in her hand, then strides over to Andy.
Mr. Larkin.
Yes.
I was wondering if you would mind giving this to Mr. Oberkugan. Now that I'm not going to be here any longer, I couldn't think of keeping it.
Oh, you're sure you won't change your mind, huh?
Oh, no. I was going to leave in a few weeks anyway.
She picks up her boots.
You know, Mr. Larkin, you're not the only one who's getting married.
Oh, really?
No.
When did this happen? Oh, here, let me help you with those.
He kneels.
Thank you.
When did this happen?
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Oh,
and then, of course, he might not ask me. Then again...
He might, yes.
Might.
Well, as a matter of fact, I happen to know that it will happen.
Her brow furrows. Andy glances up at her.
Mr. Larkin?
What?
What do you mean you happen to know?
I might as well tell you. He came to see me the other day.
They stand up.
Who?
Your fiancé. I had a pretty uncomfortable time with him. You know, he just didn't believe you when you wrote and told him that I meant nothing to you. Can you imagine that?
Veronica lays her hand on her cheek.
Well, I just can't get this through my head. You mean that he came to see you?
Me, yes, that's right. But you know, you've got nothing to worry about, because I straightened the whole thing out. In a little while, you'll be Mrs. Newspickle.
Newspickle?
Well, that's his name, isn't it? That's what he told me.
Yeah, Newspickle.
He's a nice fella. I congratulate you.
Oh, thank you.
You're a very lucky girl.
Tell me, did you find that he was very attractive?
Yes, I thought so. But don't try to change him. Don't you go putting him on any diet.
Would you say he was fat?
Well, I wouldn't know. Personally, I like that little tummy of his. It gives him a nice homey look. And after all, that's what you want in a husband, isn't it?
She stares off.
That's what I want.
Andy turns out the lights.
And as for his being bald...
Bald?
Oh, I don't think anyone would know it. You know, it's very clever the way he lets those few hairs at the back grow long and then combs them forward over the top of his head. Coming down over his ears. It's real genius.
Mr. Larkin?
What?
About his mind.
Mind?
Yes. Didn't you find that he was very, well, intelligent and witty?
Witty? No, not witty. I, as a matter of fact, I found him quite depressed.
Oh.
But then, of course, you can't judge a man when he's out of a job.
Veronica drops into a seat.
Out of a job?
Why, yes.
Why, he... Never said anything about that to me.
Well, as you say, he's very sensitive. But he thinks you can both live very comfortably on what you make.
Does he ask you what I made?
Well, after all, he is your fiancé. But he was a little worried at first, but I promised him I'd try to get you a raise.
He sits close to her.
I think this is ridiculous.
Oh,
Andy outrageous. Begins to gently stroke her hair, then puts his arm around her.
I wish you could read his letters and you'd find out that he has such a lofty point of view.
Lofty?
Now to find out that he's so materialistic.
Materialistic, too? Well, I'm sorry. I hate to think that I've spoiled your Christmas.
He touches her cheek.
Well, you haven't spoiled it. I suppose I should be thanking you.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. But you know what I wish you would do? I wish you'd send this newspickle about his business and concentrate on me instead. Huh?
Well, I can't. You already have some.
Oh, no, not yet. No.
Well, now, wait a minute. This is all wrong.
After all, it is Christmas.
I know, but Mr. Lockett...
Oh, Veronica, I love you so.
His eyes closed, he holds her tight.
Please open box 237 and take me out of my envelope.
She gapes.
Box 237.
Dear friend.
You?
Yes. Are you disappointed?
He presses his lips against her cheek.
Psychologically, I'm very confused, but... personally, I feel just wonderful.
Melting into his arms, she kisses him deeply. Behind them, a decorated Christmas tree transforms into a tree covered with pink blossoms. Now, Andy and Veronica stroll through a park, holding either hand of a little girl between them. Beaming, Andy sweeps their daughter into his arms and kisses her cheek. Titles appear. The End. Copyright 1949 Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast: Judy Garland as Veronica Fisher, Van Johnson as Andrew Larkin, S.Z. Cuddle Sackall as Otto Oberkirchen, Spring Byington as Nellie Burke, Clinton Sundberg as Rudy Hansen, and Buster Keaton as Hickey.